Thanks for listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Kay Sloan is a professor of English at Miami University and the winner of the 2014 Novella Award in the William Faulkner William Wisdom Creative Writing Competition from the Pirates Alley Faulkner Society Incorporated. Back at the end of November, she had the pleasure of going down to New Orleans to the Black Tie Affair, and now she's back and here in the studio to talk about her novella, Give Me You, which is the story of two couples who were once wild and politically radical, but now in their later lives, those indiscretions continue to follow them. Kay Sloan, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
I want to have you talk about the Faulkner Award, because there are many Faulkner Awards. Can you help us distinguish what this creative writing award is?
Well, there are about seven of the awards, and they range from short story to novel, novella, even a novel in progress award, which I think is great. I mean, this is one of those conferences and award systems that does something pretty unusual. It gives the awards out to not yet published manuscripts, mm-hmm. and allows authors the wonderful opportunities to meet with agents and editors down in New Orleans. So
what was it like back there at the end of November going down to the big Black Tie Affair?
It was pretty magical. There were about 4 days of literary luncheons and panels and fun panels. And dances and cocktail parties and lots of fun. So being back in New Orleans is pretty cool. Whatever's going on.
I would second that motion.
Yeah.
I haven't been back lately. But tell us about your novella, Give Me You. I did a small synopsis of the plot, but share the origins of this piece. Where did this come from? Because this is a novella, which is not quite a novel, but you told me just before we went on the air that this is being expanded into a novel.
Well, yes, it is expanded into a novel at this point. Though, you know, a writer never knows when he's finished. I mean, I've published previous novels, and I can pull one off the shelf and decide, I should have changed this or that. But as far as where this one came from, a chimpanzee, actually.
A chimpanzee?
Yes. The Nim Chimpsky gave me the title, bless him. not that I spoke directly with him. He's deceased. But when he was in great frustration trying to communicate to his trainer that he wanted an orange, he delivered the longest signed sentence of any chimp that we know of. And it ends with, give me you. And I just thought, I read this quote, and I just thought, you can just feel his frustration. And, you know, how he expresses it just about as well as we humans do, if not better. Mm-hmm. So I let the title be Give Me You. And it's about four couples as they age and as that world teetered on the brink of war in 1939. When their lives in 1939, these two young couples in their early 20s, heard it all over the radio that their lives were about to, you know, explode, as the whole world was. So this was their chance at a remote little camp up in the Adirondacks, where there was free love and nude swimming and jazz dancing till dawn. Here's my southern accent. And it was like a freewheeling Garden of Eden, but with no snake. So all kinds of things took place that summer for these four characters. And the thing that I found most interesting as I was writing this is that the four characters are haunted by that summer, even in old age. So the story takes them from 1939 into old age and even in dementia. One of the characters is, you know, still caught up in that last summer of his life as he knew it. So much was taken away from them.
Well, and you speak, they had this idyllic summer,
right.
And then war struck, and the realities of war struck these
exactly.
four people, too.
Exactly. Jake lost his leg in the war. Rose lost her brother, who was a POW, taken by the Nazis. And some escaped, like Seymour, though, with his making of textiles that, you know, is greatly resented by Jake.
Well, the novella is in four parts, one for each of the characters. There's Hilda, Rose, Jake, and Seymour.
Right.
And you see the intersections of their thoughts and also where they diverge. And what's going on,
right.
And the perceptions. These voices you find, Kay,
are
wonderful
for all of them.
Just amazing voices. I was swept up into this. Where did you get such a nice Jewish accent? And for Hilda,
I'm sitting here giving Mark thumbs up. Thank you. Because, you know, writers work in a vacuum, and you just, some of it, my former husband is Jewish, and his mother, my former mother-in-law, you know, I was a shiksa to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard a lot of the Yiddish, and her voice is very palpable to me. And so is Jake's, who's not Jewish, who's Catholic, the only non-Jew of the foursome. But I love them all. These characters.
Well, they are. I mean, they are very real in their thought processes and their speech patterns and their voices are just amazing because they reflect not only what, you know, I can hear the way they're saying what they're saying, but I can also feel what's behind what they're saying, and it's just incredible. I'm not surprised that the Faulkner Society recognized this case.
It was Maura Crown with a shout out to wonderful Maura Crown, who is the judge. She's a fantastic writer, and her new book, The Ice Garden, is just out. So,
give a good plug for her.
She's wonderful. So, yeah,
interesting stuff. I'm speaking with Kay Sloan, a professor of English at Miami University, but also the winner of the 2014 Novella Award in the William Faulkner William Wisdom Creative Writing Competition, presented by Pirates Alley Faulkner Society. And the Faulkner Society does wonderful work. You mentioned that there are a number of categories. Your novella winning in one category, novel in progress. What, there was high school short story,
yes,
even, too.
That's wonderful. You know, they give a prize to a high schooler from all over the country, certainly, the submissions come, but also from the world now.
I did notice a lot from the United States. Oh, I did. Now that you mention it, when I was looking through the winners or the finalists, I saw one from Australia, even.
Australia, Malaysia. I mean, it's interesting. But it's an international contest. But, oh, what fun. What fun.
A lot of fun. And your thoughts on Faulkner, William Faulkner himself. I mean, being a woman from Mississippi in the South and, you know, feeling that rhythm.
Absolutely. In fact, my God, it's kind of synchronicitous that this is the Faulkner Award because he's my all-time favorite writer and always has been. And he writes, my God, with some of the blues he heard, some of it. I mean, of course, every piece is wildly different, though. But my God, he has a character in Pantaloon in Black, one of his stories in Go Down Moses. And it's written from the point of an African-American man who's really just on his path to suicide because he's just lost his wife. But he's going to die by sticking it to the white man first. But he sees his deceased wife, Manny. Oh, it just makes me want to cry every time I read those words. He says, he sees her ghost. And she starts to fade, and he says, "Din lemme go with you, baby. Din lemme go with you." And you can just hear Mississippi John Hurt, the blues man, in those words. He's magnificent. There's nobody like Faulkner.
Let me ask you about this novella in Give Me You, the four parts for each of the characters. And as a writer, how did you approach, because they're all, they have similarities, but at the same time, they're very, very different. And it seems like it would be a challenge that I know other writers have faced in the past, of finding the same event from different perspectives. But this is something that was amazing in how it's all woven together. I mean, what was your approach to putting it together?
Oh, man, there have been many approaches, I'll tell you.
try again. Is that it, Kay?
Well, yes. Does this pattern of organization work, or does this one, and just back and forth. Writers have to have a heck of a lot of patience and faith and humor, sense of humor about the whole process. The shape of it. I wanted to go back and forth in their consciousness. And I wanted to challenge myself with going into minds, say, Jake, with his dementia when he's in his late 80s, what is it like to look at the world through, you know, dementia? And when your mind, you know, at certain points, Jake's sometimes aware of his dementia and sometimes not. And if I nailed that one, I would be really, that would be my most proud.
I will say,
it
disturbed me when he sees his friend Joe in the crowd, and he goes down to say hello to Joe and gets there and realizes it's not Joe.
Oh.
And it's just heartbreaking because you bring us inside Jake's head. And it is, I mean, very confusing. And not only slipping from character to character, but from time to time, because even in the sections to see, right. You know, I didn't. Sometimes I was surprised that all of a sudden I was not in the present anymore, but I was swept back in time to from one paragraph to the next.
And I hope that's clear enough. That may, see, you may need some massaging. Massage those words.
I followed it along reasonably
good,
well.
Good. Won't say thank you. Anything. You know, one thing I really must say before I forget, and in case you don't ask me, the book was support, my writing of the book in Provincetown, beautiful Provincetown on Cape Cod, was supported by the Ohio Arts Council. And boy, they do our state writers and artists such a service. We have one of the best arts councils in the nation.
I think
so.
So
they're fantastic.
Well, and I guess that would tie in with your first book winning the Ohio Anna Award.
Right.
What was that? Worry Beads?
Worry Beads, yeah.
Yes. So, and this book kind of sprung out of that because you've got that trip to Provincetown somehow related to it? Is it all kind of woven together? Or is
it is all woven together in that. I guess all life is somehow. But actually, I did have a second Ohio Anna stipend. That came out of my second novel called The Patron Saint of Red Chevys.
Mm-hmm.
So this was kind of out of that.
Ah, okay.
That allowed me to work on this one.
Well, so. I was having more fun reading your story than delving deeply into
the history. Well, they do wonderful things for us. So,
well, you mentioned that this has been expanded into a novel. So what's it like taking this novella and the four parts of this novella and fleshing it out?
Well, as you said, this may not be clear to listeners, but as you said, the novella is written in four pieces, each from the point of view of the four characters in old age. And with the novel, what I've done and had great fun doing is waltzing them right back to 1939 in the present tense when they are young and hot and the nights were long and torrid. And that's really been fun. Writing the novel, expanding it. But I just, you know, you never know when you've found the right shape. We'll see.
Well, we only have a couple of moments left here. Would you mind sharing a little bit of the novella, some of these words that I've fallen so much in love with,
with
some of our listeners here?
Okay. Well, this is Seymour's section. He's one of the four characters, and this is after he's died. So it begins with, "There is no time," he said, but he had died and no one heard. A stranger arranged his necktie and fluffed the satin pillow beneath his head while someone else folded his hands across his chest, stiffened so badly he hardly recognized his own fingers. Across the city, his two sons and their wives are gathering clothes from his bedroom closet, debating which to keep, which to put in a box they've marked for charity. "Give the blankets to the Hebrew orphanage in Brooklyn," he wanted to say. "They will need it when the Great Depression hits, the one when his own father plants a backyard garden to grow the beans and tomatoes on their plates, and he wears his brother's hand-me-downs until he forgets what proper-fitting pants feel like. No time. Even if anyone could hear, what would they know? No time for what?" they'd ask. the turns of their calendar pages, their cell phone apps for appointments, designer watches conveying their importance, all inventions, he understood now, the foundation of the white-lied lives they live.
Beautiful words, Kay. Well, thank you for
thank
sharing.
Thank you.
Can't wait for the novel to come out because, as I said, these voices just struck me and swept me in. And congratulations again.
Thank you so much. It means a whole lot to be here and to hear those words. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Kay Sloan, professor at Miami University and winner of the 2014 Novella Award in the William Faulkner William Wisdom Creative Writing Competition from the Pirates Alley Faulkner Society. We have a link to the Faulkner Society webpage and all the winners at our website, wvxu.org. And I will let you know when Kay's novel comes out. The novella, again, Give Me You. The Book Club at 91.7.